This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Loose Ends, the spin-off podcast where Dad and I keep you company during quarantine. Dad, how are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Paul, you are prone to exaggeration. Do you know that?
Piss off.
Like, you do a caricature of my voice, and it's not accurate.
It's pretty accurate.
At all.
World class, John. World class.
Did you see the photograph I did on Instagram this morning?
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, no. Okay, it's
can I just... I have to ask... Look, listeners, I know that most people have parents, and those parents probably send very
brief... Do you know
that
most people have parents? That's a weird thing to say.
One person didn't, and he died for our sins. Thank you very much. Dad, what I'm trying to say is that parents tend to send very truncated text messages. You know, they're like, it's one word, there's no punctuation. I'll send a big heartfelt thing and you'll just send, great, no exclamation mark, no full stop, lowercase, right? Yep. And then I check onto your fucking Instagram and it's like you write an essay under every post. So I know you can write articulate things. So what the fuck is going on?
Paul? Paul?
Yes?
I did a very good Instagram picture this morning of a pet that we have. It has a genuine people personality in terms of its plastic.
Excellent Hitchhiker's Guide
reference.
It's
a rhino.
But what I'm trying to say here, Dad, is that underneath that picture, you wrote a bunch of stuff and you used punctuation and, you know, you used emojis and then there's like 50 hashtags. So
what's your point?
My point is you need to send better text messages because when I send you something heartfelt...
Well, I like to be succinct.
Not on your Instagram, apparently.
No, that's different. That's to a multi, a worldwide audience.
Are you saying the audience is more important than me?
No, but you understand me quite well.
You think I do, but sometimes it's hard to understand the single word. All I'm saying is up your text game. That's
okay,
all I'm saying.
Yep, I'll double it.
And I expect hashtags in my messages, okay?
Cool.
Hashtag dads of phone dads. Hashtag anyway. So last week, you mentioned a very strange story and you said that mum was involved in something where somebody cut her brake lines.
Mm.
And given that you're both in the same room,
yep.
would you like to pop her on for a second and she can tell myself and the listeners what happened?
Okay, well, Christine's working from home in a very senior role. She'll just have to get a little Bundy card and Bundy off for 5 minutes.
Well, if mum is her own boss, maybe she can ask herself for an early lunch break. But if she says yes to herself, then maybe she can give herself a pat on
the
back.
All right. Christine, would you like to come over here for a sec? It's been fun, listeners.
Don't worry, we'll get you back.
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll get you back on the show sometime. We'll have
all
you
right,
on as
Christine?
A guest.
Christine? All right, so Christine's coming over now.
All right.
All right. Hang on a sec.
Good morning.
Good morning, mum.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you perfectly well. How are you?
I'm very well.
Is this weird?
Yes.
Okay, great. You can't get all shy. You've been on the show before, you know.
Well, I'm waiting for the prompts.
Oh, right, okay. Well, because last time we were sitting across from each other so you could see me. What's funny, Mum, is the editors at Penguin and I have just been going through the chapters of the book in which you are featured. So,
yes.
I mean, first of all, I'd like to ask how you feel about the fact that you are effectively a character in the book, in the second book now.
Well, it's very hard to quantify how I feel because I haven't read the parts of the book that I'm in.
Oh, shit, that's right.
So once I know what the content is, well, then I can express my feelings.
Okay, so I have you fighting off a team of 15 ninjas barehanded, but apart from that, I'm guessing it's pretty accurate. So
okay, that's that okay then. Cool, good.
Yeah. Now, last episode, Dad mentioned something about you getting your brake lines cut, and I didn't want to bury the lead, but I thought it would be much better, given that you're literally in the room and that listeners are familiar with you, that yes. you would, I thought maybe you'd like to tell the story yourself.
Well, when I was about, I must have been 16, 17, because I had just passed my driving test.
Yep.
And I purchased my stepmother's Volkswagen Beetle, pale blue colour, for a, I can't remember how much I paid for it. Maybe it was back, gosh, giving away my age here. Back in the 70s, I think I paid a couple of $1,000s for it.
Right. I'm guessing it was pretty affordable.
Yeah. It was really exciting. She'd had it for a few years, but it was the perfect little car for me. So I purchased it, and my stepmother had a fairly, very dysfunctional relationship with her ex-husband. And there'd been ongoing hostilities and pretty nasty stuff going on for many years. So in this instance, what happened was I got up one morning, I don't remember whether it was a weekday or weekend, and I drove off in the Volkswagen, and must have been probably within a couple of blocks of leaving home that I went to apply the brakes to slow down and nothing happened. So I thought, gosh, this, I pumped the brakes. And then being a brand new driver, like I hadn't driven for more than a few months on the road, something kicked in there, a bit of self-preservation or survival instincts, and I basically used the gears to slow the car down then used the handbrake to stop the car. I don't think I was going, well, I must have been going, I suppose, 50 or 60 kilometres because I was just travelling on a normal road, but I managed to pull the car
over. Do you remember where it was? Do you remember whereabouts you were?
Well, I was living in DY, Northern Beaches, so it would have been within a couple of kilometres of home, I imagine, although I think the brakes would have continued to work for a little bit until there was nothing left as far as the brake fluid went. I'm not really sure how brakes operate, but anyway. So that was pretty scary. And then no mobile phones back then, so I had to find the nearest garage with a telephone. And I can't remember what happened. I think, obviously, my stepmother and my father organised for the car to be towed and repaired, but it was a pretty scary, I suppose, I took it in my stride actually, but I remember thinking, gosh, and not having driven for too long, I suppose I was a little bit naive about what the consequences could have been if it had played out. So I found it a little bit distressing, but I wasn't super freaked out by it or anything like that. But the same person, there'd been a whole string of things happening over many months, so before this had happened, my stepmother had two children and there were four in our family, so six of us. And it was a weekend night a few months before that and we were all asleep in bed and my father and stepmother had gone out for a meal or out for dinner, whatever they were doing. And then I just remember waking up and hearing this loud thudding and yelling, and I felt really hot and I couldn't work out why. It turned out, it transpired that, and it could never be proven in a court of law, but because of everything else that had happened in succession, it was basically put down to the fact that my stepmother's ex had set fire to the garage in the back of the house.
Oh my God.
We were all home asleep in the house. And we had a dog and a bird and all the rest of it. So what the thumping was that the next door neighbour or the guy across the road with his wife, they'd come home and they'd thought, that's a bit weird. There's no fire engines. There's a fire at the back of the house and there's kids that live in there. So they basically, he rammed the front door down and dragged all of us out of the house with pets and all. And we were all out on the front lawn and the fire brigade, he rang the fire brigade. And then my stepmother and father turned up. They saw this glow in the distance and they were coming down the hill and they thought, gosh, that's a fire. It's very close to home. And then they obviously realised what was going on and went into panic mode. But the police and the fire brigade did establish later on that there was an accelerant used to light the fire, which started in the garage at the back of the house. And it didn't burn a lot of the house, but it was pretty well getting close to, you know, being a bit of a tricky situation. But I just remember waking up and feeling, thought, gosh, I feel so hot. Looked out the window and just saw flames. So it was...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So that was a pretty scary year that year, actually.
So effectively, did they ever figure out who did it? Who did
the fire? They could never pin... I mean, there was obviously... It was a suspicious fire.
Yeah.
The accelerant was used to light it. My father and stepmother hadn't been home for many hours, and that was the one person that had a lot of grievances. It was a bit mental, really. But there were lots of other things that happened that I won't go into, but it was many, many events over many months, and the car brakes being cut was the final thing that happened. And every time, of course, police reports were made and investigations were undertaken, but you could never quite... you know, pin down where he was at the time. But I know that there was an AVO out against him at the time to keep him away. But anyway, the rest is history. Here I am.
Jesus. Do you think that any of this contributed to your desire to effectively fight crime when you became a police officer? Like, did any of this factor into your decision-making when you, you know, when you dealt with things?
Not consciously. We all gather... life experiences from growing up as kids and teenagers and into adulthood, and it all becomes part of our makeup. You know, it's what makes us as people, those experiences in life, relationships and good and bad experiences. That's what makes you evolve and become a better person, hopefully, mostly. And that's what you are. You are who you are because of what you've, where you've been and what you've experienced. So maybe it made me grow up quickly. Maybe it may have had an impact upon my choice of careers. I'm not really sure, but I wasn't consciously aware of going out to fight crime to, you know, protect people that might suffer what I went through. That wasn't at all in my mind.
Well, I still think it's bloody heroic. I think that's really cool. Oh my God, your life is very...
Many other stories, but that'll do for today.
Okay. Well, look, really, I think I speak for everyone listening when I say thank you so much for popping on and telling some truly terrifying stories for us.
That's okay.
I guess you've got to get back to work.
I do have to get back to work. Working from home is a challenge, but have to be very disciplined.
Are you going to be heading back into the real world anytime soon, you think?
I think my organisation's thinking about one day a week starting in the next couple of weeks, just easing back staff, maybe 30% to start with. But, you know, everything's dictated by what's happening out there in the wider community. So one day at a time. But it's been a pretty bizarre, surreal experience the last few months for everyone, I'm sure.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. I will hand back to John.
Yep.
Okay. Give me 1 minute.
Thanks, Mum.
Okay. All the best, everybody. Bye.
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 How you going, mate?
I'm good. What was it like listening to that story?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I've heard it only 20 or 30 times.
Oh, I see. I see how it is. I actually had a question sent to me, and I can't recall who sent it, but somebody wanted to know what the best film or TV show about firefighters was, in your opinion.
The weird thing about that question, Paul, and I'm quite sure I've touched on it before, but and maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but if you were to do an accurate film on firefighting, you'd never see anything, because you can't see inside a fire.
Yeah, but presumably you could shoot around that or use cinematic techniques. But for example, the film Backdraft. Are you a fan of these films? Do you think they're crap? Do you think any of them get it right?
No, not really. They get it right, perhaps up to and including the point where they enter the building. But let's face it, once you enter the building, that's where the action happens, and that can't be filmed. And the only way they kind of do it, they've done it really badly in the 70s sitcoms where, in those really appalling movies, those disaster films, what were they called? Earthquake Inferno, The Towering Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
Which were like the Poseidon Adventure, which were, at the time, seemed pretty exciting, but boy, oh boy.
Dad's got a long-standing beef with those films.
No.
Paul, you know what gets my goat? The Poseidon Adventure.
There'll be a few people that know or recall that film. It was a B-grade film. In fact, all films in the 80s, I think, were B-grade, late 70s.
Oh, no, what are you talking about? That's not...
Well, a lot of them. I mean, The Deer Hunter was not a B-grade film, and Apocalypse Now and a few others. The thing is, Paul, that I've seen quite a few B and C and D-grade films where they portray fires, and what they do is you go inside the burning building, and what they do is, or what they did on set, is they had all these concealed, like, gas burners, and they just lit them all. So there are all these weird flickering flames. Nothing's actually burning. They've like got these flickering gas flames coming from near like a desk, but the desk miraculously does not ignite, which is quite amazing. But the main problem for me with watching those films is there's no smoke.
Right.
You
okay,
with me?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I gotcha.
So, and that as for firefighters. I think that, but it'd be a bit weird if everyone just went to the cinema. Not that people go to the cinema anymore, but if they did go to the cinema and all sat there and just watched, say, 2 hours of smoke, and then all went home, like the credits then came up.
It'd be accurate.
And then everyone just went home, and that would be a very accurate portrayal of a fire.
Very avant-garde.
From within the building.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to sit there sort of using your imagination for 2 hours.
Or just fill the cinema with smoke and then shoot the fire without any actual smoke and have the smoke in the cinema play the role of the smoke in the film.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or be inside the cinema and they actually set the cinema on fire.
Sure.
And then all try and get out of one little door.
Like an escape room.
Yep.
Yep. We did an escape room, by the way. We all did an escape room. You, me, Mum, Tegan did one. And I think it's... I would be curious to see what you felt... How you felt being put in a fake situation of peril, given that you've been in real perilous situations.
Have you ever done paintball?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, with paintball, at first you think it's just a bit of a game.
Yeah.
But then after a while, you really get into it.
Yes.
And it makes you realise, I did it a few years ago. It was incredibly painful being shot. Particularly at close range, when people just came up and shot me in the legs just for fun. The bruising was frightening.
Yeah.
But imagine if they were actual bullets.
Oh, 100%. The way to enjoy those things, I assume, is to treat it as if it's real, even though...
Yeah, well,
not.
They become real, don't they?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's why when emergency services do all these scenarios for all these different types of accidents. You know, I did one at the airport. It was a hostage situation with a jumbo and... Have I told you this story?
No.
At first, it was a full-on terrorist situation, and for a while, everyone was just treating it as a bit of a, you know, it was just a game. But boy, oh boy, it became really real, and it was, you know, in the end, it becomes so visceral and scary that you immerse yourself totally in the whole thing. And they were bringing in people that had been shot, and you know, accidentally, of course, not accidentally, but made up to look as though they'd been shot.
When did you do this?
When I was in the police force.
When you were in the, really?
Yeah.
How have we not so done was, this story before?
I can hardly hear you now, Paul, I'm afraid.
Can you hear me now?
No, it's like a Dalek. I can hardly understand it.
That's very odd. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, look, let me just check the time count. 21 minutes.
No, okay, I can't hear you at all now.
Fuck's sake.
No. You've completely gone.
You can't hear me at all?
No, it's just like a...
But I said you can't hear me at all, and you said no.
I can't understand a word... It's like being out in the universe, the dark right, universe, and just on, you're just on, a little bit of...
Listeners won't be aware of this, but we just had probably 15 minutes of very stressful technical issues.
Paul, I would like to say to you on the record...
Yep.
And that's not off the record on the QT, but you're very tolerant and I really appreciate it. And I'm sorry, but for 15 of those minutes, for probably 7 of them, I was laughing uncontrollably.
I was screaming so loud that Tegan messaged me from the other room to ask if everything was all right.
I couldn't hear you screaming.
No, it's probably
that's
for the
like
best.
If you're screaming. That's like if you've just self-ejected from a spaceship and you're in the universe, like out there in the whatever.
Yeah.
Where there's no atmosphere and you're screaming.
It's like that.
And no one can hear you.
No one can hear
but
you.
But it'd be like I was looking through as you were floating away, and I'm on the inside of the spacecraft.
Yeah.
In a fairly pleasant environment, waving at you.
Just happy as Larry. Larry Hagman. Talking your parents through tech issues is one of the... Look, it's one of the worst things...
I agree. But are you saying that it's always my fault?
It's mostly your fault. It's mostly your fault.
Paul, can you do me a favour? Can you take 2 suppositories and call me in the morning?
In the morning, yeah, okay. Yeah. Hey, did you hear the one about the constipated mathematician?
Yep.
He worked it out with a pencil.
I know.
Yeah. Do you have any dad jokes? I know you're not a dad joke person, but do you have any dad... Because you are obviously part of this narrative of Loose Units and Electric Blue is that, you know, father and son, but you've never really told any dad jokes. Do you have
No,
any?
Well, can I just... What was that noise? Bloody Laura.
What was that noise?
I think it was the garbos.
Oh.
Or should I refer to them as garbologists? I was driving... We were all in the country once.
Yeah.
Driving along, and I was doing about 60, 70 kilometres an hour, and a chicken came up alongside the car.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down at it, and it looked up at me.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe a chicken could actually run that fast.
Right.
And then I cranked it out to 70 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
And the chicken caught up with us. And I looked down again, and there it was. I looked down, it looked back at me. And then I thought, this is ridiculous. We're on a country road heading up north in a really beautiful area, sort of up near the Hunter Valley.
Mm.
And I cranked it out to 80, and I thought, this is impossible. And I looked down, and there was the chicken running on the road next to the car. And then I thought, this is ridiculous. And I took it right up to 100. And we're doing 100 kilometres an hour on a country road. You kids are in the back.
Yep.
And the chicken draws up alongside again. And then it's level pegging at 100 kilometres an hour, this chicken. And then all of a sudden there was a country path off to the right. And it just did this incredible, almost sharp right-hand turn and just sped off along this dirt track. So I pulled up and I thought, I need to know. I need to find out about this chicken. And so we backed up and I drove along this road for about 0.5 kilometre and I came to a chicken farm. I don't remember the name of the farm. And this farmer comes out and I'm just explaining the story to him, and he said, well, that is right. He said, they're incredible. He said, they're actually 3-legged chickens. And it turns out he bred these 3-legged chickens. Do you know why?
Why?
For the extra drumstick. And I do you know what I said to him?
What?
I said, I said, that's incredible. What do they taste like? And he said, I don't know. I've never been able to catch one. Paul?
I don't know why that made me so... Oh.
Anyway. That's
a terrible joke.
At what point in that story did you begin to realise that it was possibly a joke?
That we were talking about jokes and you started telling me what was clearly a joke.
Good point.
Yeah, this was, it was really just the time for it, you know. Mm.
Good point.
Oh, well, that's a good note to finish on. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Loose Units, Loose Ends.
Hey, Paul.
And yeah.
Paul, yeah. When am I actually going to be able to read the book, the second book?
Well, how about next week?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'll get you a secret advance copy next week.
Okay, well, what I'd really like to do, and I mentioned it to Tegan a few days ago, I'm looking forward to the time, without giving spoilers, but I really would like to do some fireside chats with you about the actual, like, just get right into it.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
We can. Don't worry. Great. We'll have lots and lots of book stuff coming up, and we'll have lots more news for everyone on the book. Yep. And, you know, what a great time. What a great time to be into Loose Units. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Be safe. Have a great weekend. And we will see you first thing next week for more Loose Units.
Can't wait. All the best. Cheers, mate.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.